Now, for the next few minutes, we'll be thinking about, I want to think together with you about living a happy life. Many of us and many people dream of visiting exotic places. Maybe we'd like to see the magnificent castles in Europe, or the unparalleled beauty of Hawaii, or perhaps the mysterious Orient with its unique culture. When we're there, we might even start dreaming about what it'd be like to live there permanently. Would it be as beautiful or as impressive as we saw it every day? Or would we begin to take it for granted just like we take San Diego for granted today? A scribe came to Jesus and asked him a question in our scripture for this morning in Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 28th through the 34th verses. Which commandment is the first of all, he asked. And Jesus answered, well, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. But Jesus didn't stop there. He continued. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said what he is one, and besides him there is no other, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love your neighbor as oneself. This was much more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that this scribe answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? You are not far from the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean by that? We know that the kingdom was at the very center of Jesus' teachings because so many parables are about this kingdom. But nowhere in the scripture is the kingdom defined. We know that it has to do with the reign of God in the human hearts. But what does that mean? Is it possible that the kingdom of God is not so much a place as it is a state of mind? This makes sense, doesn't it? The kingdom of God is not something that we enter. The kingdom of God enters us. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar tells a fun story about a couple who were driving through a lonely stretch of back country and decided to stop at a cabin for a drink of water and to make conversation with an old settler there that was rocking back and forth in his rocker. And the husband visited the man on the porch. He began the conversation with this old timer. The husband said, well, it seems pretty lonesome around here, isn't it? The older man shifted his head and looked at the stranger, and then he said, solitude is a state of mind which effectuates the reactionary tendencies and inoculates those with hypersensitivity. However, having been a victim of claustrophobia during my adolescence, I find habitation in the environment of nature's wonder not only serene and desirous, but fundamentally mandatory. Well, the couple left in kind of silence, you know. And after a short drive down the road, the wife turned to her husband and said, well, why don't you say something, Einstein? In his own way, this old settler was saying that he had found a satisfactory state of mind. He had learned to live in harmony with his surroundings. You know, that's what we have to do too, you know, live with our surroundings, and it's very difficult, and lots of us have a hard time with that. Jesus told this scribe that he was not far from the kingdom of God, and the scribe was indeed found the key to harmonious living in this world and the next. God, love God and your neighbor as yourself, as you love yourself. Want to live a truly fulfilled life? You know, some people think they must have the right job in order to live a fulfilled life. Others think it comes from having just the right marriage. Some seek fulfillment in their relationships with their children. All of these things are important, no question about that. But what if you have a bad job? Or what if you have a bad marriage? Or what if your children hate you? Is your life over? No, not if you love God and you love your neighbors as you love yourself. It's really very simple. Love God. Some people have a messed up view of God. They see God as some divine policeman looking over their shoulder, waiting for them to make some mistake so that he can squash them like a bug. Others view God as a vindictive being who enjoys playing havoc with their lives. And they say, Lord, why did you let me get that traffic ticket? Why did you let my nose run just as I was giving an important presentation? Lord, I know you're busy, but I would like to play golf this afternoon, and the weather has been lousy. It's hard to believe that some people have a God with nothing better to do than run breathlessly all over the universe, cleaning up all the messes and spoiling their plans and occasionally granting them a lucky break. No wonder so many people have trouble loving God. Think about it. It's a wonder God can stand us at all. The truth is that God gives us an amazing amount of freedom. Our lives are pretty much what we have made of them. Sure, some of us have had some lucky breaks along the way, some good breaks and some bad breaks, but mostly the choices we made were the determining factors in our successes and our failures. Some people are uncomfortable with that idea. They want God to look after every detail of their life. Steve Rage, a professor teaching American politics in Singapore, wrote about an incident that illustrates the difference between our society and the people of Singapore and their society. One evening, Stephen went to water a sickly-looking fern a previous resident had left in his apartment. He was sort of reckless with the watering and just about drowned the poor fern. And afterwards, he went for a swim, and then he returned to his apartment. A persistent knocking at the door interrupted his peaceful evening, and so Stephen opened the door and found two Singapore police officers standing there. They politely but firmly told Stephen that his fern was a public danger. Evidently, his overwatering had left standing water in the flower pot. Pregnant mosquitoes thrive on standing water, and mosquitoes can spread fever. So the extra water in the flower pot created a health hazard to the neighborhood. Stephen quickly emptied the extra water, and as he did so, he marveled at the Singapore social policies. He had watered a fern a little over an hour ago, and evidently one of his neighbors had reported him to the police. And after the fern was taken care of, the police officers continued to make polite conversation with Stephen. And during that time, Stephen discovered that the police knew quite a bit about him. Evidently, they had some information about him. This episode sounds very foreign to us, mind-your-own-business Americans. But it demonstrates one way that another country maintains social order and harmony at all times. How would you like to live under such restrictions? Police at your door because of the way you watered your fern? Some of us would be in trouble with something like that about all the time. But that's how many people view their relationship with God. God is in control. He determines when a policeman will be on duty on the interstate to write a speeding ticket. God determines whether you get to play golf in the afternoon or whether it's not you win the lottery. Poor God, he gets the blame for all our misfortunes. No wonder it's difficult for some people to love God. God has given us an amazing amount of freedom. The psalmist phrases it this way, and the Psalms are always so wonderful when they phrase things about God. And in the 103rd Psalm, and verses 8 to 12, this is what the psalmist wrote. This was many, many years before Jesus, maybe 1,000. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. And then Jesus noted in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and the 45th verse, that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God does not run around willy-nilly rewarding some people and punishing others. He does not determine the outcome of football games or the sending of rain for your daughter's wedding. God simply doesn't work that way. Here's how God does work. God is always there when we call upon him to give us strength for the journey, to heal our hurts, to refresh our spirits. But for the most part, God allows us to make of our lives what we will, be it a mess or a masterpiece. God is not a policeman, a matchmaker, or a weatherman. But God is the best friend you will ever have. Relax and love God for who he really is. And then, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's assumed that you love yourself. Except we know now that this is not always the case. Some people loathe themselves, and they are, as a result, unable to love others. That's extremely sad, but it happens. No, it's far more than sad. It's tragic, especially if you're the one who is angry all the time or depressed or withdrawn, or if you have to live with someone who suffers from these problems. Some of these problems are caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain, and medicines can help. But often a great deal of the pain as adults can be traced back to our childhood, when we were not given what we needed to develop a healthy self-image. So some people have to work very hard to get outside themselves. We have to work at loving others. But here's what you'll find. If you are truly able to love others, it will help you rebuild your own self-image. You'll find that a healthy state of mind is the proper heritage of children of the Most High God. These are the keys to living in the kingdom of God. The Bible is our travel brochure. The price of the voyage is simply to love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. But you knew that all the time. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. In fact, this is the key to experiencing the kingdom of God all over this world. This is the purpose of our evangelistic endeavor. If enough people were introduced to the God of Jesus in such a way that they would come to love him, and if enough people could love their neighbors as they love themselves, everything else would fall into place. Theologian R.C. Sproul tells a wonderful story about traveling in Eastern Europe with his wife and another couple, Bob Margine Ingram. This was before the fall of communism in Eastern Europe. When they crossed the border from Hungary to Romania, Sproul says that three burly, tough-looking soldiers got aboard the train to check their passports and examine their luggage. The leader indicated that he wanted to see their passports. As they handed them over, he pointed to their luggage. As R.C. Sproul rose to reach for a large suitcase, the lead soldier suddenly stopped him. In broken English, he said, "Wait, you're not American." And then he looked at Margine and he said, "You're not an American." Sproul confesses that at that moment he found himself terrified. The man pointed to a paper bag on the seat beside Margine. He asked, "What is that?" pointing to the edge of a book that protruded out of the top of the bag. And Margine pulled out a Bible, her Bible. And Sproul gulped, and thinking that they were now in real trouble. The policeman took the Bible and began to leaf through the pages. He opened the book to Ephesians and pointed to the second chapter and the 19th verse, and he ordered, "Read it." Sproul read it aloud. "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Instantly, the policeman's face radiated with a benevolent smile as he said, "You are not American. I am not Romanian. We are citizens of heaven." And then he turned to his fellow officers and said, "These people, okay." He returned the passports and bid them Godspeed. R.C. Sproul added a message to this story just for us. Thank God for your citizenship in heaven. Thank God for our citizenship. We are thankful for our citizenship in country, but we are more thankful for the citizenship in the kingdom of God. Jesus told the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom." Now is the time to make a step into God's kingdom. We need to ask God to come into our lives and help us. In a moment of silent prayer, let's talk to God and let's ask him to come into our lives this morning. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life and help me. Forgive all my sins and help me to live in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, this morning, come into our lives in a real, vital way. Help us to realize that you're there with us 24 hours a day, every day of the year. And forgive us for all of our sins and help us to love you with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And help us to live in your kingdom today. In Jesus' name, amen.